This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
When it started, the winds played so softly, sounding almost like a harmonium in a little church. And then this man's voice floating in, so soft you can barely hear the words, although he opens up in the center, doesn't he? It's a strophic form. In fact, it's music of Franz Schubert. I know this. It's a song called Nebenzonen. Zonen could have an H in it. I mean, your son, like your heir, or could be S-O-N-N-E-N, in this case, is the sun floating above. But our three sons, he says, what is this stuff? Who's singing this? So for you folks just tuning into this, trying to think, is this something I really want to spend the rest of my evening listening to? Joe Horowitz, one of my hosts, says so. He says it's going to be one of the most interesting and also one of the most experimental programs we ever had. Hi, this is Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to Post Classical, a series we kind of put together with two extraordinary musicians, Joseph Horowitz and Angel Gil Ordóñez. I'm going to start with Angel. What did you think when you first were approached with this idea? Schubert, sung by a man called David Taylor, and sometimes played by him on the trombone.
Well, that was probably one of the craziest things I've ever envisioned in my life. Mm-hmm. It was very exciting. I mean, I knew David Taylor was playing, and I thought, this is what we have to do. I mean, we have to do this.
Uh-huh. Joe, I think you're the evil genius behind this. Usually you are. How did this project find its start? What was the, what clicked?
It's my fate to be friends with David Taylor. You're a trombonist, Bill, so, you know, we're talking about one of the most notorious members of your clan.
Actually, I've known David for a very, very long time. And back when I used to play trombone myself, he's a remarkable musician and a very, very creative one.
Absolutely.
So here's a man with a solo career playing the bass trombone, who played in Stokowski's American Symphony, who subbed with Boulez in the Philharmonic, who played with the Lincoln Center Chamber Music Society, the Gil Evans Big Band. Mm-hmm. Gunther Schuller's Charlie Mingus Project, Rolling Stones, a completely uncategorizable musician. I would call him a quintessential post-classical artist, and we are post-classical ensemble.
Yeah.
And David would come over to the house and sight-read Beethoven cello sonatas with me. And as a result of that harrowing experience...
So you're playing piano, but he's actually playing the bass trombone.
That's right. And this was such a bizarre experience that I felt that he should be playing music more bizarre. And I recommended to him the late songs of Franz Schubert, beginning with Doppelganger. Mm-hmm. And that went well. And he wound up performing it for the first time in Vienna, in the Musikverein, with the Tonkünstler Orchestra. And that went well. And he proceeded to sort of specialize in trombone versions of late Schubert, hence the two programs which we will audition on this show, mm-hmm. which we did Schubert Uncorked with mm-hmm. David Taylor.
This opening piece that we heard, I mentioned that it sounded to me a bit like an old harmonium, like a pump organ you might have in a house, the kind of thing Dvorak had in his home, which he loved to play on. And you're nodding your head on, Angel.
Well, this is actually David Taylor's own instrumentation.
Uh-huh.
He showed them to me, and I said, this is fascinating, because mm-hmm. he's also unconventional, not only as a player, but also as a composer.
Yes.
And he would put this layers of woodwinds together, and as you beautifully described, it sounded like kind of harmonium.
It almost sounded like basset horns, was it?
Or
was
there
it,
you are. Yeah. No, it was we didn't have basset horns, but we did have this warmth of the basset horn, no doubt. The combination of the colors.
Because the music is sort of, as you get to late Schubert, sometimes it seems to come from over the horizon, from some other place, not quite still on Earth. He's very human on one hand, but it's almost as if he can feel past that great divide. And this music, this slow, almost religious feeling music, isn't it? Like a hymn tune in a way.
We can remember a time, we're old enough, when people primarily, I think, thought of Schubert as a sunny composer. I primarily think of him as an edgy composer, a demonic composer, really very, very different from any previous composer, inhabiting the psychological landscape of Dostoevsky in these astonishing late songs.
You know, I agree entirely about the depth of his, especially central section. I'm thinking the A major sonata, which has an F sharp minor movement, or late sonata, and it sounds like a little boat song in a way. And then there's a tremendous catastrophe that attacks the music. And he does it again and again. He does it in the Ninth Symphony. He does it in so much of his music.
Well, that passage is literally non-tonal.
Yeah.
You won't find anything in Beethoven or Mozart or Haydn that's non-tonal.
Huh.
That's non-tonal music, the middle of that movement. It's the music of chaos.
But then he lets the chaos dissolve. I think that's one of the things I love very much in his music, that a lot of times the catastrophe passes.
Not always.
No, I know. But frequently we come back to a place, and we're sort of older and wiser, so that the music that struck us as innocent at first, now we know contained this potential catastrophe in the center of it.
I like more the pieces that don't resolve, where you're still in the throes of the catastrophe when the music is over.
You talk about Doppelgänger, which is a poem of Heinrich Heine, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And Heine is an interesting creature. He's a Jew at a time when in Austria and Germany, I mean, this is 100 years before Hitler, but he's walking around the city looking at his sweetheart's home at night. He's not sure that what would happen if somebody found him on the street staring up at her window. It's almost as if he's watching himself, isn't he? He goes, "Du bleiche Gesele, you pale spirit. Who is that over there? Oh, my God, it's me." That's one of the spookiest songs I know.
It's absolutely frightening, yeah.
So we're going to hear Doppelgänger now, Bill, sampling a concert where we had two stations. In station one, we had Bill Sharp singing the songs, and the light was what blew, I think. The other half of the stage was the ensemble and Angel and David Taylor, and they were red. So we had lighting design. And we'll just hear first the one song, Doppelgänger, first sung by Bill Sharp, and then played by David Taylor. I'll just briefly read the words.
Please do.
And then we'll go right into these two juxtaposed performances. This is a rough translation. The Doppelgänger, of course, is the double. The night is calm, the avenues are quiet. My sweet one lived in this house. She left the city long ago. A man is standing there, staring up into space, wringing his hands. It horrifies me when I see his countenance. The moon shows me my own face. You, my fearful double, why do you ape the pain of my love that has tortured me in this spot? So many a night in times long ago.
So much mal Nacht von alter Zeit. As I remember those lines. Fantastic. Let's listen.
Es ruhen die Gaben. kein Mensch und starrt in die Höhe und ringt die Hände vor Schmerzensgewalt. Mir graust es, wenn ich sein Antlitz sehe. Der Mond zeigt mir meine eigene Gestalt. Du Doppelgänger, du gleicher Geselle, was ist du? Ach, mein liebes Leid, dass ich gequält auf dieser Stelle.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
That's remarkable. When Dave Taylor first comes in, if you just tuned in, the Winds were playing the harmonies of Franz Schubert's Der Doppelgänger, and the trombonist David Taylor was improvising against that, sometimes like a jazz player just playing to a plunger mute, and he ranges in his emotions from the almost imperceptibly soft, it's like the interior thing, it's like I'm thinking this but I can't say it out loud, to where he's just shouting it, screaming it, flutter-tonguing it,
exactly.
Growling.
Exactly.
I find it very moving, very surprising. I want to hear it again and probably again and again. Dave is using some of the techniques that were developed for trombone by people like Luciano Berio. Winkel Globokar was a very famous European trombonist who encouraged a lot of great avant-garde composers to write for the trombone. Dave has absorbed all of their techniques. What's interesting is he's putting it to use. Well, Schubert is like a chapel, you know, so there's something in musicians. Look, I know I was nodding and saying, when we think about playing Schubert with an orchestra, it's like you're going to church in a way, and he's in this church behaving like David Taylor, which is everything human,
yep.
From awe to fury. It's remarkable.
Some people can't handle this.
Yeah.
I know, because
this is disturbing.
I often share these performances when I talk with students. And by the way, we're going to hear another doppelganger by David Taylor later in this show, which Angel regards as David's supreme performance of doppelganger.
Wow.
And the students, I must say, maybe I shouldn't say, they can't get beyond describing what's unusual. They don't venture into the emotional terrain, which you just described, because it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah. It's interesting in the center, just the spot where the song, the man is singing. Dave plays Schubert quite literally for a moment and beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the spot where the man is saying, oh, I think I know who this creature is that I see there. Oh, my God, it's me. It's my double. And just as there, he sticks close to Schubert then, and then is almost destroyed by that realization.
In terms of emotion, it's much more emotional than with a voice.
Mm.
The level of sentiments with what he does, the voice cannot achieve it. The tragic is, I mean.
We should say that beautiful performance that we heard before, sung by William Sharp, right? And Seth Knopp, is that what you say, your pianist, is very slow, for one thing. I've heard this perform much, little quicker, I should say. But it's also rather restrained. It's never very, very loud. Just that one spot where he reaches to the top note where the realization, it's my double. That's the only spot that he lets it go very powerfully. And with Dave Taylor's realization of it, man, he's all over the map, is what he allows himself.
Yeah, it's like a paraphrase. It's a phantasmagoria inspired by Schubert's song.
And we're going to hear another version. Man, I don't know whether my heart can take another doppelganger. There will be three in one day. It's already one of those pieces that will not leave you alone. And did I look further and see you have Der Leiermann on somewhere in this program?
So what we'll hear now, Bill,
God
is what
us.
Happened right after the doppelganger performances.
Mm-hmm.
There were three songs on this program. We're sampling two programs today. The first was Doppelganger. The second was Nebenzonen. And the third was Leiermann. So we're going to hear Bill sing Nebenzonen and then David sing Nebenzonen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll hear Bill sing Leiermann. and David will play Lyrmann. Lyrmann being the last song in the cycle,
Winterreise.
You've got a man exploring, that's the wrong word. You have a man submitting to a somewhat different form of derangement than in the doppelganger, sinking into a madness. We'll just briefly revisit the words, and then we can hear these two paired performances.
You know, I'm thinking in this song, which is the better part of an hour, the Winterreise.
Yeah.
You follow this young man who's leaving a village where he's been welcome in the spring. Now he's leaving.
Yeah.
And his whole journey toward winter, toward death.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he makes it. There's that song called Die Totenacker. I remember when I started to play that at the piano, I didn't really understand what the Germans were. Auf eine Totenacker. I thought, it's somewhat a pretty little hymn tune. No, Totenacker is a cemetery. That's his resting place. And then beyond that comes their Lyrmann. Like a lyre that you play upon, like a hurdy-gurdy. Yeah, yeah. Just like this guy's playing this little doo-wee-doo-wee-doo, kind of like a, almost, Alfred Hitchcock could have set this. And so I imagine with some of the expressionist filmmakers. Read us the words.
I'll just do it quickly, and then we'll hear the two paired performances. We already heard the Nebenzonen, the false sons.
This is not my three sons. This is three sons up in the sky. Three sons, celestial, side by side.
It's an actual optical phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
I've never experienced it, but apparently it can happen. So you see the three sons. They don't want to leave me. Oh, you are not my sons. Go look into someone else's face. I, too, recently had three, but now the best two have gone. If only the third would also set, I would feel better in the dark. And then the hurdy-gurdy man. There beyond the village stands an organ grinder, hurdy-gurdy man.
Mm-hmm.
With numb fingers, he plays as best he can. Barefoot on the ice, he totters here and there, and his little plate is always empty. No one listens to him. No one notices him. The dogs growl around the old man. Strange old man, shall I go with you? Will you play your organ to my songs?
Sonnen sah ich am Himmel.
Ye three sons are none of mine. But I'll go on other folks to shine. Time was I called three sons my own, but two.
You know, I've known Dave Taylor for a really long time. He's utterly fearless, possibly shameless too, but definitely fearless.
Yes.
You folks at home, I don't know how many of you sing these songs. They're so beautiful. You know, you ought to. They're not that hard to learn. They're not that hard to play at the piano if you pick the right ones. Schubert belongs to all of us. But one of the things you will discover very quickly is that Schubert comes in a number of keys depending upon the range of your voice. So there's a low key for basses and baritones and mezzo-sopranos and contraltos, and then a higher key, you know, and then even a higher key sometimes. David Taylor's singing in a register which sounds high for his voice. That's what I mean. He's utterly fearless. He's naked in front of the world singing this beautiful music that he loves so much. It's moving to hear somebody take a chance like that.
Absolutely.
And now let's move on. The final song of Winterreise, Der Leiermann, first sung and then played.
Drüben hinterm Dorfe steht ein Leiermann. Und mit starren Fingern dreht was er kann. Barfuß auf dem Eise wankt hin und her. Und sein kleiner Teller bleibt ihm immer leer. Und sein kleiner Teller bleibt ihm immer es gehen alles, wie es
in the village stands an organ man. With stiffened fingers turns the best he can. The cold ground barefoot sidles here and there. But up on the organ turns and turns way. But up on the organ turns and turns away. Wonderful, wonderful old minstrel. Shall I go with you?
Der Leiermann, two versions. The original with William Sharp singing, and the second with David Taylor singing and playing trombone over the accompaniment of an accordion. Very apt accompaniment for that song. Wow, that's a spooky song.
We faded the house to black after the Leiermann.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was one of the most powerful responses I've ever witnessed from an audience.
Mm. People rend their clothing and tear their hair? Or are they just silent?
I think the house was in a state of hypnotic shock.
Huh. You know, we're of an age where people would joke about some kinds of music that sound a little bit like this. They say drugs. You know, there had to be drugs involved here. It's like people nodding off, man. But there is something so powerful about this performance.
Yeah.
You can't make a joke about it. I don't mean to make a joke about it, but it puts you into a mood and then manipulates the mood.
Yeah, people were really stunned. They were in shock.
So then do you have an encore, Roseline, some cheery little two-beat thing from Schubert? Or no, you don't let the sun shine in.
This was actually the first half of a program. We went into an intermission at that point. And in the second half, David played the Daniel Schneider bass trombone concerto, which we'll get to at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The whole first half was Schubert.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, one day David came over to the house, and instead of playing late Schubert songs together, he had brought with him the Arpeggioni Sonata,
mm-hmm.
which, as you know, is a virtuoso piece for a six-string cello. And David announced that he was going to play it on the bass trombone. So we read through it, bass trombone and piano, and I reasoned that we could not present this with post-classical ensemble unless it was turned into a concerto.
Mm.
So it's my fault that we proceeded to do that. And I'll never forget being backstage
with
Angel.
Wait a minute. People play it on the cello, they play it on the viola. As far as I know, you could play it on the flute. All okay. kinds of transcriptions, but why couldn't you simply play with a piano accompaniment? Why did it need to have a concerto accompaniment?
Because I wanted to present it with post-classical ensemble.
Ah, I see.
And I'll never forget being backstage. This is a true story with Angel. We'd been through grueling rehearsals that were not very successful. And Angel and I were standing there wondering what the hell we were doing.
Yeah.
And I can tell you truthfully, I've been producing concerts for over 30 years. I never went into a performance with so little idea what the hell I was doing. As when we performed the world premiere,
yeah.
and I'm sure the only performance that will ever be heard, of the the Arpeggioni Concerto. And I'd like to invite Angel to describe what it was like rehearsing and preparing
okay.
this performance.
Joe is not exactly selling this piece. Come on, Angel. Just take a crack at it.
Yes, because the idea was wonderful to have David, of course, you know, doing what we have heard so far. But there is no a string orchestra that would accommodate to his incredible force with the Arpeggione Sonata. So in Schubert is absolutely doable. I'm also, we probably will talk about this later, our next challenge with him is going to be Gustav Mahler.
Mm.
But with this piece, it didn't work at all because it needed a conductor. And that was actually one of the mistakes. I think, you know, the Arpeggione Sonata, the concerto that actually he arranged and orchestrated for strings, mm-hmm. might work with a string quintet and him playing and with a lot of rehearsal in my work. But with a string orchestra and a conductor, it was absolutely a mistake.
Does David play it more or less straight? As Schubert
oh, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because I'm thinking, if I were to pick up a trombone at this late date, practice for 3 months to try to get some chops back together, I probably would play pretty much what a cellist would play in playing the Arpeggione.
Not David.
Not him.
Ah.
So we're going to actually sample in two parts.
Mm-hmm.
The second sample, we'll have David in the studio, and he can comment on mm-hmm. what he has wrought. But just to give you a taste, we're going to end the first part of this show with an excerpt from the finale
of the
world premiere performance of the Arpeggione Concerto for bass, trombone, and strings with Angel conducting and David Taylor performing.
I guess this is a time we should tell folks to fasten their seatbelts. Here we go. Thank you. That's heartfelt. That's you on that's me. Mic.
That's me.
In the performance. This was David Taylor's realization of the Schubert Arpeggione Sonata, now Arpeggione Concerto with the string orchestra. I'm going to ask you, Angela, have you ever conducted for the great violinist Oscar Shumsky? He's gone now.
No.
I love Shumsky. He was a brilliant player,
uh-huh.
but he's also a real gypsy.
I mean, exactly.
You folks know what gypsy is? It's like somebody who will go his own way.
Yes.
Forget about Thoreau's different drummer.
Yes.
A gypsy really, really goes his own way. So when you accompanied Shumsky, really had to keep the orchestra on their toes because he wouldn't predict it. It'd be different every time.
Look, I don't regret any second of this experience. I mean, I have to tell you, it's had a phenomenal experience. But now listening to this again, I had completely forgotten how chaotic this was. It has so much value that we take that risk. That we put us in the position of being, you know, he's fearless, as you said before. He's taking risk. Why shouldn't the orchestra take the risk of really making mistakes in front of an audience for the benefit of really creating something special?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't regret a thing of this. I wouldn't repeat it. We wanted to have the experience. Mm. And my proposal to this is actually that we don't need a conductor here, a string quintet instead of the string orchestra. And it would be more accurate, so to say. But probably we lose the fantasy and also the humor here, because we're talking about Schubert, a dramatic and tragic, but there was a lot of sense of humor also in Schubert.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually the Arpeggioni, that sonata reflects that a little bit. So it was incredible. Really.
Yeah, and it's funny because David is actually playing the humor up in a rather dry way, considering the extent of his personality.
It actually works well with piano.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the performances we presented at John Zorn's club in Lower Manhattan was with the pianist William Wolfram.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Bill, if you're listening. And that worked fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was amused when we were preparing for today to read my program note for this performance.
Mm-hmm.
Post-Classical Ensemble has commissioned the Schubert-Taylor Arpeggione Concerto in the conviction that this will become regarded as a vital component of the instrument's expanding repertoire with orchestra and will be performed internationally. So this was a misprediction, which I am now re-encountering.
You don't know. It could be popular acclaim will force it onto programs across the world. For you folks just tuning in, we're having a wonderful time here. Post-Classical Ensemble with Joseph Horowitz on Hell, Heel, Ordothonius. I'm Bill McLaughlin, and we're just about to shoot in Dave Taylor. So hold on to your hats.
You are listening to Post Classical with your hosts Bill McLaughlin, Joseph Horowitz, and Angel Gil Ordonez. We'll be back in a moment with the second half of this program called Schubert Uncorked, a little bit more of that arpeggione concerto, and bass trombonist David Taylor will join our hosts. Post Classical is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and WWFM.org.